Advent is an anticipated arrival. Now, you know, for most of my life growing up, we didn't celebrate Advent. We didn't ever really acknowledge it. And even in talking about it today, it's like, oh, City Light, Advent is kind of new to some of you at City Light too, so we're going to kind of unpack some things today. Advent speaks of an anticipated arrival, a revival maybe, what, but a revival, an arrival. There we go, right? It points us to a shared longing. There is a generational longing. A generational longing as we look for and long for the Messiah to come, as the Israelites did. And there is the longing for us for his second coming. There is a looking back to hope fulfilled as we see his coming as an infant. And there is a looking forward to hope continued as we anticipate his coming kingdom. Now, this is really important for us to understand that Advent is not an extension of the season. It is instead a path that we walk to experience the fullness of the season. It's not like we just rush, and do what we normally do and everything else and in a run-up to December 24th. Rather, we take our time to walk through the season. The other part of Advent is this, because sometimes we rail against things, right? We rail against the busyness, and we rail against the extravagance, and we kind of go off about the decorations and the, you know, the commercialization and all of that other stuff. But the point of Advent is not to get rid of those things, the trappings, the traditions, and the celebrations, but to take a purposeful journey through those things that helps us to more deeply experience the gifts of Christmas, of hope, love, peace, and joy. So we're going to do something new this morning. Jane has made this beautiful Advent wreath. I said, Jane, do you think you could find an Advent? Is there an Advent wreath at the church? No, I don't think we have one of those. Could you make one or find one or buy one? And she said, well, I've never done one. Tell me what it looks like. So I sent her some pictures, and then I just kind of thought she'd get some artificial, you know, stuff and do something, but Jane had to actually hire a crane and a truck to move this today. Well, let me explain the imagery of the wreath and what it means. The green wreath symbolizes God's unending love for us. Right? His eternal and unending love for us. The candles represent God's light coming into our darkness. So each week through Advent, over the next four Sundays, we will light a different candle. And we will share a passage of Scripture. And so, Jen, I'm going to invite you to come in and light that torch that Doug bought. And she's going to light one of the purple candles, which is for us today, the candle of hope. It is the candle of hope. Out of Isaiah chapter 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And our prayer today for you and through this month is that the light of God would come more richly into your life to direct you, to guide you, to help you, and to lead you. Advent celebrates God's coming into our darkness, into our lostness, into our pain, into our chaos, into the uncertainty of our lives. It celebrates that he comes, and it reminds us that he makes a way. He makes a way. How many of you have ever said, I hope? Well, I hope that happens. Right? I hope that happens. We use that expression a lot. I hope it doesn't rain. And what a beautiful day we have today. It'd be a good day to take out a motorcycle and go for a ride. Right? I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I get the job. I hope that the world will be at peace. I hope he gets better. I hope she shows up. I hope that the Buffalo Bills beat the San Francisco 49ers today. In the snow. Right? We hope. But our hoping in those moments is almost always focused on small things, on selfish things, on tiny things. But not always. Sometimes big things. I hope I meet someone. I hope I get a new job, or you know, whatever it might be. We hope for things that may or may not happen, because our hoping in that context is really just something it's an acknowledgement that circumstances are beyond our control, and all we have is this kind of earthly hope. But in Jesus, hope is a guarantee. In Jesus, hope is a sure thing. Hope is a slam dunk. Our hope is actually a no-so rather than a hope-so or a maybe-so. As we put our faith in Jesus, we begin to live with a different kind of hope, an eternal living hope that sustains us, even when the circumstances don't turn out like we think that they should or would. So let's unpack this gift of hope, looking today at hope past, hope present, and hope that is to come. So the entire history of Israel, really the entire history of humanity, is marked by a waiting for the fulfillment of a promise. As early as Genesis chapter 3, God says that he will send someone who will crush the serpent's head. You will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. And he is speaking of and pointing to Jesus. And through the prophets, Isaiah chapter 7, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah 9 and 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That hope has shaped the ethos of the Jewish people for millennia. Promises are wonderful. Waiting is hard. Promises are wonderful. Waiting is hard. The promise doesn't always make the waiting easy. This past week, I was in Charlottetown, and it's a long time to get to Charlottetown. I was telling Lynn this morning, my flight left at 11:30 Victoria time, and I landed in Charlottetown with a layover in Toronto at 2:00 in the morning. It's a day. You can get to a lot of places, and frankly, a lot of places that are a lot warmer than Charlottetown. But as I didn't go just to go sightseeing, even though I love the red dirt and I love the white little churches and in all the tiny little communities and all of that stuff. I went because after 18 years of waiting, a promise that God made to us when we started Leading Influence in 2007 was fulfilled. And I went to be with our chaplain at the Prince Edward Island Legislature. I take these pictures off. I may have put it up on social, but I take these pictures whenever this happens to me. Because when we began the ministry, one of our board members said, Tim, the Lord is going to give you every place you set your foot. And so in every legislature that I've gone to across this country, I take a picture of my foot with something that marks it. So I have pictures, obviously, in Victoria and in Edmonton and in Saskatchewan and in Manitoba and in Ontario and in Ottawa and at the National Assembly in Quebec City. And this week I added number 8 in front of the Prince Edward Island Legislature. It has not been an easy road. It has not been a quick road. It has been a long and waiting road, because waiting is hard. Now, I just waited 18 years. We're not done yet, but I waited 18 years. Imagine if you waited thousands of years. Imagine if you believe in God for a promise and you wait and you wait and you wait, and nothing happens. As we prepare for Jesus coming this Christmas, we share in the waiting of the people of Israel. Like them, most of us have situations and circumstances in our own lives that make it difficult for us to wait on God. It's hard. You look at the history of Israel and you go, oh, they're so foolish. Oh, they're so this. Oh, they're so that. You know what? They're just like us. They got tired and distracted in their waiting. They got tired and distracted in their waiting, and they went adrift. We wait for the complete fulfillment. They waited for the arrival of the King, and we wait for the second coming of a King. We wait for a second coming, a complete fulfillment of God's salvation for the world. Many prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' coming, but others are yet to be completed when he comes again. The key in waiting is to be purposeful. Purposeful waiting grows our confidence and renews our faith in God's promises. The writer of Hebrews said this in chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the confidence that what we hope for will come to pass. King James, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We think the temptation for us as we wait, the temptation for us as we wait is always to waste that time. To waste that time. I know maybe I've shared this before, but when we started Leading Influence in 2007, we were living down in James Bay. And we moved here, kind of took a week to get ourselves settled in, took off to California for 2 or 3 weeks. And came home, and it was like, well, now we're going to start. I got to load up my preaching schedule because I got to talk about this. I have to raise the money to do what I do. And so I got to get out. I got to preach. And there I am in August, and I'm phoning pastors, trying to line up preaching engagements, and everybody's on vacation. And I should have known that because I was a pastor for a lot of years, and I know every pastor takes vacation in August. And I'll tell you that in that moment, after spending half a day making phone calls and realizing that all of my contacts were on vacation, I may or may not have tossed the cordless phone gently across the room. I was a little upset. So I took our dog for a walk down to Ogden Point, sat on the logs, threw sticks for her, looked out at the water and muttered to God. And I said, God, I've sold everything. I've done everything you've asked of me. And in a familiar Jewish refrain, and it feels like you've brought me here to die. And I heard him say to me, Tim, they that wait on the Lord, and I cut him off. Not like you've ever not done that. I cut him off. I said, yeah, you know what? Everybody I know that waits for you comes to nothing. He should have just zapped me right there. But for the first time in my life, he said this. He said, that's because you don't understand waiting. You think that waiting is wasted time. You think that waiting is do your own thing time. You think that waiting is forget about what I've said and just go try and fix it by yourself. But that's not what waiting is. Waiting is trusting me to do my part so that when you get there, you can do your part. I was like, oh, I need you to stay focused, he said, on what I've called you to do. I'll look after the rest. So you can appreciate within that context that 18 years later, when I put my foot in the Prince Edward Island legislature, it's kind of a big deal for me, right? As we just kept our eyes fixed on what God has promised that he would do. We don't know when he's going to fulfill his promise. We don't know where he's going to fulfill his promise, and we don't even know how he's going to fulfill his promise. But when he makes a promise, he is good for it. He makes a promise, he's good for it. We do know that he will fulfill his promises and his word to us. So that's hope past. He will fulfill his promise. That's what we have hoped for. But then there's hope present. So put yourselves in Mary's shoes for a moment as an angelic visitor appears to her. Gabriel appears to her and he says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Anybody that I know who's had an angel appear to them was pretty freaked out by the whole thing. You know, and poor Mary, she was there too. Mary's greatly troubled by his words and says, "Well, that's really fantastic, right?" He says, "Mary, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You're going to conceive and give birth to a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary knew enough about biology to go, "Well, how will that be? I'm still a virgin." The angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Mary's response, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." You know, in the midst of life's questions, we just say, "God, would you just tell me? Would you just tell me? Would you just make it clear? Would you just give me a download so that I see it, I understand it, and I get it all? Wouldn't it be easier just to know?" I look back over your life and you might say, "Well, maybe. Maybe. Maybe it's easier just to know." But in Mary's case, maybe it would have been easier not to know. What do you do with information like this? What do you do when God says something that outrageous to you and he calls you to something that is so far out of the box, there is no context for any of it? What do you do? Well, thankfully, Mary said yes, but most of us, we just tailspin. Because I was like, "Really? Is this God? Is this really happening? How do I know?" Mary was given a direct message from the angel Gabriel, but even, and maybe especially then, it took faith for her to put her trust in God. The truth of Advent is this, is that Jesus has come and made a way. The truth of Advent is this, that his coming changes everything. You think about the situations that you're facing in your world right now, where the things that you hope for, the things that you hope for, and imagine what it's like if Jesus has his way. I heard the most incredible, incredible story this week. Several years ago, a younger politician gets married. She invites our chaplain to her wedding. And because of their age, they wanted to start a family right away. And after a year of trying, there was no sign of a baby. So they did IVF. And after a year of doing IVF, the doctors said, "I don't think there's a lot of hope here." And she talked to our chaplain, who she had invited to the wedding and had some relationship with, and with tears shared her story. And he said, "Well, let me pray for you." And on Wednesday of this week, I saw this very pregnant politician walk by, and he told me the story. And I was like, that was the best part of my whole trip, honestly. Such an amazing thing, because his coming changes everything. And I know that some of you today are looking at situations that break your heart, crush your spirit, things that you live with that are heavy and burdensome. I always say to you today, hope says he is coming for you. He is coming for you. He is coming to change that situation. What for man is impossible is possible. With him, he is bringing change to your situation. Our present hope in Jesus doesn't stop the storms of life, but like an anchor, it holds us. It holds us and sustains us through the storms and the troubles and the trials that we have. Let's talk about hope future for a moment. Advent points us to the second coming of Jesus. Advent points us to the day that he returns to this planet and everything is restored and made right. Everything is renewed. Pain and suffering ends. The power of addiction is destroyed. He comes to complete God's work in the world, and on that day, we see him face to face. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. Our hope lies in the one who came as a baby. Our hope lies in the one who was born in a stable. Our hope lies in the one who was crucified and rose again on the third day and ascended to heaven. Our hope is in the one who said, I will come again. Our hope is there. You know, I work with politicians, and so I spend a lot of time talking with people about politics. And we all have the same, everybody has the same idea that we're going to vote somebody out and we're going to put somebody in and it's going to be better. Like, really? Let's just acknowledge the fact it's not, right? Because our hope isn't in who sits in the prime minister's office or in the premier's office or in the White House. Our hope is in him. Our hope is in the one we remember and celebrate today. Our hope is in the one we look to his second coming. Our hope is there. No matter what the department stores try to tell us, Christmas has not yet arrived. This is Advent. It's a season of preparation. It's a season of waiting and expectation. Now, there's value in the excitement and but there's also value in patient and expectant waiting as we look towards that day. So for you, may this be a season of wonder as you discover Jesus' gifts this Christmas: hope, love, joy, peace. So I'm going to invite you to do something with me. Do any of you use the YouVersion Bible app? All right, fantastic. Nod your heads. So I'm going to tell you, because today is the first day of Advent, I signed up for the plan. The plan is called Advent, a 25-day countdown to Christmas. Okay? I know that some of you is like, you just can't manage downloading an app, but it's not that hard. Right? Advent, a 25-day countdown to Christmas. You can be my friend on the Bible app, and we can read the plan together. All right? So I will know if you're my friend because you're going to friend me. So, you know, please do that, right? But let's read it. Let's read it together over these next 25 days and see what the Lord will do with us, in us, and through us. I believe this series is crucial for our future. I'm not saying it all rises and falls on this. But this is a time for us, right, to experience the depth of God's plan and purpose for us personally and for City Light collectively as we walk together.